it is possible that some will hear truths they have not really known before. I remember when it happened to me. I want to tell you, if this is the case with you, that God never sends truth to embarrass or to offend. Truth is sent to enlighten and to save. Would you all say amen to that? If truth comes for the first time to you, and you know it's truth, thank God for it. Pray about it. It is never sent to embarrass. It is never sent as an offense, though some are offended by it. Tonight's message, As the World Turns, takes me back to the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. I've known men to read those words and stop there and preach a great sermon. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. What we are reading is the very beginning of Scripture, and we are reading the story of creation week. And as each day's work was done, that first chapter of the book of Genesis says, and the evening and the morning were the second day, or the third day, or the fourth day, and so forth. What happens that causes day and night to follow each other in marvelous succession? Perhaps most of you know that this earth on which we live is spinning at 1,038 miles per hour. And at the same time it's whirling around in space, it's moving on a trackless orbit around the sun. As it spins so quickly, it produces day and night. And as it goes around the sun, it produces the seasons of the year. That's elementary, and most of you, of course, know that. It is believed that the sun does not turn. The world turns. It turns from west to east, producing the crimson dawn, high noon, blazing evening with its dazzling sunsets, and then the darkness of night. As the world turns, days and nights follow each other into the ages. The Bible indicates that days are for work and for study and for recreation and for relaxation, and nights are for sleep. In Genesis chapter 1, we discover what God made on each day as the world turned. On the first day, God made light, and the evening and the morning were the first day. On the second day, he created the firmament, and the evening and the morning were the second day. On the third day, he separated sea and land and created vegetation, the towering trees of the forest, and the smallest herb in the field. On the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth day, the birds and the fishes. And on the sixth day, God created the beasts of the field and of the forest. And then, God scooped up the very dust of the ground. And with it, in his divine way, he formed the body of man. And God breathed into the nostrils breath of life, and man became a living soul. Male and female created he them on the sixth day of the week. The creation of man was God's crowning act in this marvelous week of bringing into being our world and all that we see here. And so as the world turned, that first sixth day evening, I want you to have in your minds that there was a perfect world and two perfect individuals. There was no sin. Please don't miss what I'm saying now. When that first Friday evening came, and I'm only using the word Friday so that we can communicate. When that first Friday evening came, there was no sin on earth. There were no Jews on earth. That's very important for you to remember. There were only two people alive. They were whom? Adam and Eve. No Jews for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Why am I writing that point? You'll see in a moment. There were no Jews. Nobody had ever heard of a Jew. Only two people alive, Adam and Eve. They had not fallen into sin yet. And as the world turned, the sun went to hide behind the western horizon, and evening time came to the Garden of Eden. And we end chapter 1 of the book of Genesis with these words: And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The next verse in our Bibles is verse 1 of Genesis 2. I'm going to read the three first verses. I want you to hear them. You ought to take notes. Jot these down. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And thus, beloved, on the first seventh day in the history of this world, God created his holy Sabbath. Now please remember what I told you. It's very, very important. When God did this, there were no Jews. How dare us call it Jewish? When God did this, there was no sin. How dare anyone say it was a provision because of sin and was nailed to the cross? There was no sin in Adam and Eve when this was done. God created the Sabbath by doing three things that he didn't do to any other day. First of all, the Bible says, and I read it to you, he rested. Was God tired? The Bible says that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Bible says God does not get weary. Then why did he rest? He rested to set a divine precedent. He rested because it was time for Adam and Eve, through the example of Almighty God, to understand the significance of the Sabbath and to come to worship before him. God rested because he would now teach these brand new people about worship and about himself and about goodness. The Sabbath thus was made. Why is the Sabbath important? The Sabbath was and is a celebration of God's sovereignty, of God's creatorship. The Sabbath indicates that God is exclusively God. Or as he put it, there are no gods beside him. Would you say amen to that? Now, that's what the Sabbath means. When a person keeps God's true Sabbath, he acknowledges no other God. Now, why am I being so deliberate? I am doing it, beloved, because I have many questions asked of me as a Bible teacher. And logically, some of these questions make sense. A person will say, well, why is a day important? It's just 24 hours. Beloved, be assured, it is not just a quibble over a day. The Sabbath is more than that. The Bible says that the Sabbath is a sign that God is our God. The Bible says that the Sabbath is a sign between God and His people forever, that He is the Lord their God. You read that in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 12 and 20. Now, beloved, understand what I've said. It's not just a day. That isn't the issue. The issue is God has chosen a day. God has created a Sabbath on that day. And God said, when you observe it, it means between you and me, there is no other God in the universe except me. You accept me as the only God, and I accept you as my people. That makes the day different than any other and special. Would you say amen out there? Now, beloved, let me say further that when a person understands this and accepts God's truth, not some denominational point of view, but the truth of the Bible, when a person then observes God's true Sabbath, that person can never believe in evolution. That person can never be an atheist or an infidel or an agnostic. That person can never doubt that there is a God, because once a week he celebrates that God. How could a person become an evolutionist when every week he celebrates the God who in 6 days created the heavens and the earth? Thus, the Sabbath is more than just a day. It is a safeguard against apostasy, idolatry, evolution, and all these other foolish inventions of the devil. Why else is it important? It's important because God made us. And God knows that we need physical rest from our labors. We need a time when man is brought back to his roots. A time for spiritual reflection which rejuvenates us physically. A time when we draw near to God to have our tensions relieved. Some of us are so hard put to make a living that we are full of tension and are thus destroying our life. Someone will say, well, why is a day so important? If I haven't answered it already, then I would add this. Why is the 4th of July important? Why is the birthday of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, why are these birthdays important? These birthdays honor great men in our historical background. And the 4th of July honors the birth of our nation. And those of us who love our country and the history of our country take a great deal of pride and satisfaction in those holidays. Right? Now, if a day can honor our first president, and if a day can honor the president who signed an Emancipation Proclamation saying that no man can be held a slave in this country, if a day can honor the birth of our nation, and then God says there is a day that honors me, how dare we take it lightly? As a matter of fact, it is so important that God included it in His commandments. Remember, sin got started when Lucifer decided he would be God. And the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So God put the Sabbath command in the commandments. He made it one of the 10. And He did it so that we, ladies and gentlemen, God did it so that we would not forget. In fact, the command begins with these words, remember, indicating a danger of forgetting. Remember, don't let it slip you. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You notice I emphasized those definite articles? The. A is an indefinite article. If God had said, keep a day, that would mean any day. But when God says, keep the seventh day, that is a definite article indicating a specific day. That is God's command. And so, beloved, as the world turns, God has cut up the cycle of our lives into 7 days to the week. And from that first division of time, we get our months and our years and our decades, etc. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. When a conductor is leading an orchestra, he sometimes will count out the beats to the measure. 1, 2, 3, rest. 1, 2, 3, rest. And unless that orchestra is together and in harmony with the conductor, there's going to be chaos in the orchestra pit. God is beating out the rhythm of the universe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. And there is disharmony in the universe. For when God is beating out the measure of a man's life, some are not resting when God said rest. Disharmony, discord, problems. Way back there in the remote annals of the past, Satan had said, I will be God. And there was a revolution in heaven, and the war continues. The great controversy between Christ and Satan. Now, we've already preached on God's law, and we told you how the devil hates it. He hates it because the Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of what? Sin. That's right. It's the law that tells you what's right and what's wrong. And the devil hates that. He'd rather you not even think about it. So that if you didn't want to get married, just wanted to go shack up like a dog, you'd do it because you don't even know it's wrong. Now, he hates the Sabbath too. Why? Because he wanted to be God, and here is the day, and if a man keeps it, he acknowledges the true God. Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't want you honoring God, so he hates the Sabbath. And it is he who has wrought a great apostasy in the church, a masterful deception. Through the 1,200 plus years of the Dark Ages, the devil forged his error into such a solid commitment on the part of humanity living in the darkness of the Dark Ages. He forced the consciences of men. He persecuted those who wouldn't line up. So that today, the majority of the people who call themselves Christians are disgracefully breaking the Sabbath and don't even know it. God doesn't hold you responsible when you don't know. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance, and that's used in a classical sense. It's not to offend you. I'm ignorant about flying an airplane. There's some things we're just ignorant about. And the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why now? Because truth is coming now. If you say you love the Lord, God is obliged to send you the truth. And it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with it. And beloved, I'm trying to put you at ease. You don't know, but I'm standing up here praying while I preach to you. Because I know some of you never heard this before. And I know how it struck my family when we heard it the first time. And I'm preaching with a great deal of compassion and understanding. And nobody is going to force you to do anything. You simply owe it to yourselves to know God's will. Would you say amen if you believe that? Even if you don't want to do it, you ought to know it. And you don't have to do it. And tomorrow night, we're going to preach about something else. We're going to preach about dead folks. If you're scared of dead folks, bring somebody with you to the meeting. Now, let's go on with where we were. The majority of people are breaking God's true Sabbath today and don't even know it. That is why you hear folks say, well, I'm not sure these people don't know it. But when you talk about the true Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week, according to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that is why some will say, well, that's the old Jewish Sabbath. We've already taken care of that, haven't we? There were no Jews for hundreds of years. Do you know there were no Jews for 2,500 years? Now, if there were 52 Sabbaths to the year, that's 130,000 Sabbaths which were kept before Mount Sinai by God's people. No Jews. Now, this is clear, isn't it? Not trying to trick anybody. You are intelligent. Think it through. 130,000 Sabbaths were kept before Mount Sinai. Why do they call it Jewish? The Bible says in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for M-A-N. What does that spell? That doesn't spell Jew, does it? I told somebody in a conversation the other night, everything we don't want to do, we say that's Jewish. The Bible says Sabbath was made for man. The Bible also says that God made the woman for man. Now, if you're going to give the Jew the Sabbath, you ought to give him the woman too. What do you say? All right. You also hear that it was done away with. By the way, I have been patiently teaching about God's law, and there's one little problem we've come up with night after night. We have been trying to figure out why men want to do away with God's law. Well, tonight I'm going to tell you. So in an effort to throw out the force, some are ready to throw the whole thing away, and they fool you with words like this: bondage, dispensation, Jewish. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm trying to be clear. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17 and on to 19, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, the dot above an I, the crossing of a T, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The next verse says, whosoever therefore shall break one. Break how many? You don't have to break them all. Jesus' words, written in red in the red letter edition. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so the churches have problems with one commandment. And Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall break one and then teach other folks to break one, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That's the word of Jesus, not the word of my church. Amen. Now, beloved, there are others who say, well, we understand that the first day of the week is the Lord's day. Mark 2:28. Let me quote both verses, 27 and 28. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So the Lord's day is the Sabbath. In the commandment it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. The Lord's day is the Sabbath. You following me? Isaiah 58:13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on mine, that's a possessive pronoun singular. My day. Lord's day? He said, if you take your foot off the Sabbath, doing your own thing on my day. The Lord's day is the Sabbath. I'll show you on the screen where it was misnomered. There are some others who say, well, Pastor Brooks, when the disciples of the new era first met after Jesus was crucified, they met on the first day of the week. Doesn't that mean it's the Sabbath? Don't you know why they met? They didn't even believe Jesus had risen. So you know they were not honoring his resurrection. Somebody had to come and tell them he had risen. Why were they meeting? Because they were scared to death. The Bible says they met for fear of the Jews. Amen. Then there are some who say, well, what about Jesus? Luke 4:16, please write them down. You owe it to yourself. Luke 4:16, the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth And as his custom was, let me read that another way, as his habit was, he went into the synagogue. That's a Jewish way of saying church. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as his custom was. Luke 4:16. Now please remember, in Adam, when the Sabbath was first kept, there was no sin in him. There was no sin in Jesus. All who agree with that, say amen. Adam kept the Sabbath, no sin. Jesus kept the Sabbath, no sin. And he became our example. And as a great prophet, he looked down into history 40 years. And he saw the destruction of Jerusalem. And he said to his church, pray that your flight, fleeing the city, that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Jesus respected the Sabbath 40 years in the future. He said, pray that you won't have to go to all the trouble of fleeing the city on the Sabbath or in the wintertime. The disciples prayed. They left on a Wednesday in October and fled 17 miles to a town called Pella. And not one Christian died in the siege of Jerusalem when Rome destroyed the temple. You see? Well, there are others who say, but Pastor Brooks, the majority of people keep Sunday. The majority of people also smoke, or drink, or go to the movies, the X-rated ones, or the discos. Majority of people don't come to hear the truth. That's why this auditorium is half empty. If I had a bunch of half-naked women up here and a bunch of joke-telling, you couldn't find standing room in this place. The majority have never followed the Lord. In Noah's day, only 8 out of a whole generation. In Sodom and Gomorrah, only 3 made it. 4 got out and 1 looked back. You follow the crowd, you know where you're going? Oh, wait a minute. It's not enough to say it. I'd better read it. Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says, let me turn there and read it. Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many they be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and F-E-W, what does that spell? Few there be that find it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You follow the crowd, you're going wrong. And so, as the world turns, and the evening and the morning follow each other, the Lord allows 6 days to roll around, and then he brings on the day the Lord made, the Sabbath, by resting, by sanctifying. What does that mean? Sanctify is from a root which means to make holy. Sanctify means to take a thing out of its ordinary use and set it apart for a holy use. Do you know only a few things are called holy in the Bible, and we ought to be careful how we treat holy things. The Word is holy. Marriage is holy. The Sabbath is holy. Whatever is called holy, we ought to be careful of. Wouldn't you say amen to that? Now, beloved, let's go just a little further. I want to tell you something. It is not fair. It is not fair to yourself to believe what is not in the Bible. It's not fair to yourself to go along with tradition just because friends do it or whatever. It's not fair to you. You don't owe me a thing. Some of you will never see me again after I leave. It's for you to find out God's will. Someone said, one philosopher, the greatest achievement of human life is to find out the way God moves and go with Him. Would you say amen to that out there? Now, one group of people today are saying, oh, don't keep the true Sabbath. That's old-fashioned. That's Jewish. That group includes priests and ministers and the Pope and governments. But there's another group that says, do it. And that group includes Adam and Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and Nehemiah and Matthew, Mark and Luke and John and Paul and Jesus. So the question is tonight, which will we do? It's not the Sabbath of the Catholics, or the Baptists, or the Holinists, or the Seventh-day Adventists. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. I've got some things I think you ought to see on the screen, and we'll do it quickly. Remember, truth is sent in love. It is sent to save and to enlighten, not to offend and to embarrass. I came from a line of Methodist preachers. My granddaddy never heard this, but from what I hear, he was a good man, and I expect him to be saved. For the Bible says God winks when we don't know. But God wouldn't be God unless he sent his truth to his people in all ages. And the truth has come tonight. And I don't have to convince you. All you have to do is to be reasonable. Established in the Garden of Eden, two holy institutions, marriage and the Sabbath. Genesis 2:3, and God blessed. That's the first thing he did. I'm going to ask the projectionist to move that over a little, please. I want everybody to see these words. Just move it to the left a little bit. Thank you. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested. Those three things he didn't do to any other day. He blessed, he sanctified or made it holy, and then he rested on it himself from all his labor. The Sabbath was made for M-A-N. That's a strange way to spell Jew, isn't it? Mark 2 and verse 27. In 1 Chronicles 17:27, the Bible says, "Thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." God blessed it, and it shall be blessed forever. In Exodus 16, we discover that the Sabbath was kept by the Jews before the law was given on Mount Sinai. That's chapter 20. In chapter 16, God rained down manna. "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." There were 6,240 miracles performed in the wilderness, reestablishing the Sabbath after all those years in Egyptian bondage. Israel would keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy for 40 years with 52 Sabbaths to the year. That's 2,080 Sabbaths in the wilderness. And there were miracles each week. Number one, manna fell in a double portion on the sixth day of the week. Number two, manna was preserved over the Sabbath. Number three, manna, none fell on the Sabbath. If you multiply that by the number of Sabbaths spent in the wilderness, that equals 6,240 miracles. And all of that before Mount Sinai. As his custom was, Jesus, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He said, I came not to destroy the law of the prophets. What about Paul? What was his custom? Acts 17:2. Paul wasn't even converted when Jesus was here. So if Christ had changed anything, Paul would have known about it. Paul said, "I have declared unto you all the counsel of the Lord." Beloved, it ought to surprise us. There is not one word in all the Bible, Old or New Testament, indicating a change of God's Sabbath. Not one word. If it had been there, we would have found it and Paul would have known. The Bible says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Paul's record of Sabbath services in the Bible are found. I don't have time to read all of these. In Mark 15:42, now we're going to locate the Sabbath in the New Testament. Mark 15:42 and 3, it's concerning the death of our Lord. Verse 42, "And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation," that is the day before the Sabbath. Everybody here knows that Jesus died on what we call good what? That's right, that's sixth day of the week. Now the Bible says that was the day before the Sabbath. The next verse says, "Joseph of Arimathea went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." Now if you go from there to the next chapter, it says, "And when the Sabbath was past," it was what? Very early in the morning, the first day of the week. When the first day of the week comes, the Sabbath has done what? Now let's all say it together. When the first day of the week comes, the Sabbath has done what? Past. That's right. That's right. It's gone. Jesus rose on Sunday. We call it Easter Sunday. Everybody knows that. Little children know that. And the Bible says that when that occurred, the Sabbath was passed, it was the first day of the week. Let's see if Luke agrees with Mark. Luke 23:54-56. "And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." If Jesus died on Good Friday, the only day that draws on as Friday evening comes is Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath of the Lord. Verse 55, "And the women also beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments." Beloved, it's significant to remember none of this was written when Jesus rose and went back to heaven.
These apostles didn't write these books for years. By the time they got around to writing it, if a change had been made, they would have said so. Don't you think? Now, we ended by saying that these people prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. The very next verse is Luke 24:1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing the spices with them. Jesus had risen. Sunday. Sabbath gone. So, he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath. He died on Friday, rose on Sunday, rested in the tomb on the Sabbath. Now, what about this business of the Lord's Day? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Mark 2:28. And in Exodus 20 and verse 10, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Well, where did it come from? There it is. From Historia Ecclesiastica, page 739. That is a Catholic encyclopedia. Historian Lucian says, in the year 325, Sylvester, Bishop of Rome, and he was bishop from 314 to 337 A.D., officially changed the title of the first day, calling it the Lord's Day. In fact, you can read all this in your library. Let's go on. Dr. J.H. Flowers. Now, here's what I said I wanted you to see. I think you ought to yourselves, and I'm going to try my best not to keep you late at all, but you ought to yourselves to see this. Dr. H.J. Flowers of the Church of England says, Episcopal Church and all of those, the Sabbath is commanded to be kept on the seventh day. It could not be kept on any other day. That's from his Book of Sermons, page 131. A Lutheran leader, Reverend Beilenberg, wrote this: there is no command in the Bible to keep Sunday as a day of rest. Why do we keep Sunday? The seventh day is not the first. You know what? In my schedule, and this is a brief meeting, and we've explained that, but in my schedule, I don't have a topic explaining how the Sabbath was changed, or at least the attempt was made. And I said to my staff today, we ought to tell the people how it was done. If you would like to have a message, a kind message, on who tried to change the Sabbath, would you say amen? We'll do it. I think you ought to know. Now, here is a Lutheran preacher saying, why do we keep Sunday? The seventh day is not the first. That same man said, if you tell me that the provisions for the Sabbath, Saturday, are brought over to Sunday, then I will challenge you to show me one, notice, one proof passage, one word of the Bible to prove this. He wasn't a member of my church. He was a Lutheran preacher. Reverend R.W. Dale of the Congregationalist Church says, it is quite clear that however rigidly or devoutly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath. Dr. Donald Fraser, Presbyterian, says, there is not the slightest evidence that our Lord or his apostles regarded or taught others to regard the first day of the week. And that's the truth, folks. You know what? One of the first lessons I wasn't born in this thing. Kept Sunday. I was a Methodist. First thing you need to learn is don't get angry with God. Now, it's okay to get angry with me. When I preach subjects that are unusual, that people haven't heard, I pray awfully hard that my own bombastic personality won't rub people the wrong way. And so if I do that, I apologize. But don't get angry with God. United Brethren say, the obligation to obey the fourth commandment is as perpetual, binding, and universal as it is to obey the first commandment. The Holy Scriptures alone teach the way and the only way of salvation. We recognize no other standard. That's from Confession of Faith, pages 57 and 58. The Methodist Episcopal say, Jesus observed the Hebrew Sabbath, which was from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. Strictly speaking, the Sabbath means Saturday. Church School Journal, March 1929. Father Enright, president of Redemptorist College, says, Sunday's not the Sabbath. Any schoolboy knows that Sunday's the first day of the week. Catholic author Vincent Kelly says, the fact, however, that Christ, until his death, And his apostles, at least for a time after Christ's ascension, observed the Sabbath, is evidence enough that our Lord himself did not substitute the Lord's day for the Sabbath during his lifetime on earth. And I could not give you these if they were not true. I'd be chased out of town, or worse. A Methodist minister in Watson's Theological Institutes, Volume 2, page 511, admits there is not on record any divine command issued to the apostles to change the Sabbath from the day on which it was held by the Jews to the first day of the week. And that's the truth. Baptists say it's sometimes argued that Christ abrogated the Mosaic law, and therefore there is no longer any obligation to keep the Sabbath. But he himself declares that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Notice that he never says he abrogated the Sabbath. Dr. Edward T. Hiscox is author of the Baptist Manual. He said, "To me it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during 3 years' intercourse with his disciples, never alluded to any transference of the day. Also, that during 40 days of his resurrection life, no such thing was intimated." Now, beloved, I'm not just stuck on Saturday. All I want to do is what God says. Don't you feel that way too? If God says, keep Tuesday, you know what day I'm going to keep? You better believe it. But you got to show me in the Bible. That's all. If he said keep Sunday, I'll keep it. I got no problem with that. I just want to do what he says. You see? Dr. Hiscox again said, "It will be said, however, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Earnestly desiring information on this subject, I ask, where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not." Why am I reading these? They are provocative. I want you to think, and then to pray. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 7, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." Verse 7, again, he limited a certain day. This is what Paul said, and he wasn't even converted when Jesus came. By the time he started preaching, if any change had been made, he should have been clear on it. "For he spake of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day." And in verse 9, Paul says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to whom?" Come on, read it, folks. To whom? "There remaineth," that means there still is, "a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his." And so, beloved, the reason the law is despised is not because of the first, second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. It is the fourth. This is the problem. And tonight, I have given you so much evidence. You know what I could do? Stand here another hour, 2 hours, and keep on reading the Bible and not repeat myself, reading and explaining. It's there. In all the Bible, there is not one iota, not even a hint, that God wants us to observe the first day of the week. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Why now? Because now truth is coming as a light to the world. Chronologists believe this world was created around 4004 BC. When it was created, God gave to Adam and Eve the Sabbath. Around 1491 BC at Mount Sinai, God gave to the Jews the Sabbath. Only then, not before then. AD 27, Jesus' ministry began. And he had a habit of going to church on the Sabbath. And today, the Sabbath is binding. You think that's amazing? Wait till I show you something else. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. "For as the new heavens," which heavens? "And the new earth," which earth? Now, beloved, this ought to settle it. You know the new earth isn't here yet, is it? So God says, "As the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make,
shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, that means month. The word month means moon, a month. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So, beloved, not only in Eden, not only did Abraham obey it, and the Jews, and the disciples in the days of Christ, and the faithful ones during the dark ages, and those of us who know the truth today, but the Bible declares that in the new earth, we're going to keep the Sabbath. Would you say amen out there? Everything we expect to do with Jesus in the new earth, we'd better start practicing on now. For only those who are obedient to Him are going to make it into the new earth. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Here is one of those texts I read tonight. Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify them. And so, no matter how clear truth is, there's some folk who can't see it. But I'm glad there are some who do see it. Now, I took my time tonight, and a little of yours, really, but I was praying to make it clear. I want to ask you, is it clear? If it is, say amen. Now, beloved, God in love. You know I won't force you, because God won't. He says in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. I love you, the Lord says. Now, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Do what I say. I will be your God. It'll be a sign that I'm your God. You'll never forget me if you remember to keep the Sabbath, for it is a sign that I am God. What's it going to be? Man's law or God's law? Man's Sabbath or God's? And I promise you, by God's grace, next week we'll give you a message on who changed it, and it'll be so clear you will never again be confused on this subject unless you want to be. Now, I know full well for some this has been new. Not only did God send it in love, but I gave it in love. I love people. That's why I'm in the ministry. And I know that I've been praying for you as I delivered God's word. I had to do it, folks. The time is far spent. Jesus is soon to come. It is not a time for pussyfooting and beating around the bush and compromising. Men and women need truth that through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, they might get ready for the coming of the Lord. I have no choice. No preacher worth his salt has a choice but to preach the truth as it is in the Bible. I have sought to do that tonight. I have to do it to deliver my soul. At the same time, I know how it feels when you hear it for the first time. But it's the truth. And if we love the Lord and know that He only means us good, then we will appreciate the truth. If tonight's message has been clear, and if by God's grace you want to be impressed and led not to do what Brooks says or some denomination, I don't even preach denominationalism. You haven't heard me mention my church except in the context of somebody else talking about it. You had too much of that already. People don't need that. They need the Word of God. And then they need Jesus. 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 When we love Him like we say we love Him, then we'll keep His Sabbath, which honors Him. Jesus. Supreme. All we need.